Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Sanusha Naidu is a senior research associate at the Institute for Global Dialogue. Thanks for joining us. Good morning. How are you?
I'm well, Howard. How are you?
I am good, thank you. We're taking our victories where we find them this morning.
Absolutely. I think even if it's the most minuscule or negligible victory, we're trying to hang on to it.
Because, absolutely.
As you rightly said, it's not a matter of, you know, what purpose he's being sentenced to serve 15 months in prison. The fact of the matter is the headline reads like this: Jacob Zuma going to jail. And so at the end of the day, it is the optics of that and the implication that for the fact that his arrogance, his recklessness, and his political miscalculations around the way he's played out this issue with regard to the Zondo Commission and appearing before it has come back to bite him. And to a large extent, people are probably saying, and you know, I was on a show last night where it was quite disturbing to see how the whole thing was driven by the idea that Mr. Jacob Zuma is a victim here, victim of the Constitution.
Right, but that's what he does.
That's Jacob's playbook, right?
Correct. He goes both, the demon and the victim.
Yeah, and unfortunately the playbook is coming to an end, and there's nothing beyond the playbook. There's no sequel. And so, you know, he keeps trying to raise the specter of something conspiratorial that is being enacted against
that's
him.
That's also in the playbook.
Exactly. But this time around, when you think about it, what the acting chief justice did in reading out the judgment, she was very scathing. She was almost very antithetical to Mr. Zuma. But more importantly, she was saying that this behavior cannot be condoned any longer. And to a large extent, what's happening here is that he's an exceptional candidate, not in the sense that he must be an exception to the rule of law, but he's exceptional in the sense that he sets a precedence for other people to think, I can do the same thing. And so they need to nip that in the bud. So I think for us, as South Africans, I think however which way it comes, the fact of the matter is Mr. Jacob Zuma has to serve some kind of punitive action, and this time around for breaking, for being on contempt of the court. And this needs to come out in a sense to say that, you know, Mr. Zuma, you can play all of your theatrics and all of your playbooks and all of your antics and tactics, but this time around, there's nowhere else you're going to go. So having read, and this was the other interesting thing that came out late last night. So the Jacob Zuma Foundation issued a statement. They say it was going to issue it at 10:30. Then they moved it. And then just before midnight, typical Jacob Zuma tactics.
This is they work midnight, at night. It's unbelievable. That
right?
was
they
the,
released
the whole presidency.
Mm-hmm. But when you read that statement, it is such a dismissive statement of our Constitution and of the way in which our Constitution is structured. And also the idea that Mr. Zuma has dirt on everybody or he's going to let loose. I mean, he's been making this claim for I don't know how long. And where are the names? Who are the people that are implicated in that you feel that should be also brought before the law, et cetera, et cetera? And again, you know, the challenge for me is that they're not realizing how much this is taking the toll on the political body of the state. And at this point in time, I think your listeners, yourself, and I think, you know, people that I've spoken to outside of the political landscape who just look at it as ordinary people looking at this, they're probably very, very frustrated and apathetic. They think our lives are at risk here, our livelihoods are at risk. And why do we have to give this more energy?
Yeah, it's but the other aspect of it that I'd like to just spend a moment exploring is the fact that he was given the sentence has to send a message that he's not as powerful as we've all and the ANC has all and his supporters have all been led to believe. That's why I think this is important, because it disempowers him, or it almost calls out the emperor for not having, not wearing clothes. And that surely must impact on the functioning and on the different groupings within the ANC. Your thoughts?
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think the illusion that they've created that there's a groundswell of support for Mr. Zuma and the faction he kind of aligns to, well, not a kind of, he aligns to in terms of the RET, and that they have all of the support on the ground as pushing back against the Cyril Ramaphosa campaign, faction in the party. It's all very interesting because yesterday there were two or three videos that did the rounds of people marching down. I don't know whether it was in Kanjla or whether it was, you know, just a video that was probably taken out of context. But definitely those MK soldiers that you see there outside in Kanjla saying they stand in guard and doing all kinds of military exercise in fatigues kind of gives the impression and the illusion that there's a groundswell of support. But at the end of the day, I think the challenge for us is, again, understanding that these levers that they consider to be their groundswell support is also happening outside particular spaces. I was reading a commentary this morning by one of the esteemed analysts in the country, and he made a very valid point. He was saying that the idea that Mr. Zuma has support is to actually create more uncertainty around the issues. The problem here is that the uncertainty that they are creating is the uncertainty that people actually believe in what Mr. Zuma is saying, as opposed to trying to align to the optics of what the group is trying to create. And so there's this whole thing around how does this lead to the kind of populism, the kind of, you know, the whether or not he's going to present himself to the police station on Sunday. If he does not, the judgment read out by Justice Kampepe was very, 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 very specific, that the law enforcement has to then carry out their duties, exercise and execute their duties in terms of a person who has now criminally not appeared in the police station to be taken to the correction services. But at the same time, you know, when you listen to some of the supporters and you listen to his son, etc., and now his brother has come up, you get the sense that there's a very specific group of people. It's not across the board. And I think across the board, we may be very, it will be absolutely ideal at this point to do a public opinion survey and ask the question, do you think that this was the right judgment for Mr. Zuma?
Yeah, it's absolutely fascinating because you've always had this dramatic, the dramatic speak. You know, at one stage, Julius Malema was laying down his life for Jacob Zuma. Now his son is laying down his life for Jacob Zuma. It becomes a little theatrical, don't you think?
Yeah. It's a bad Greek play. and to a large extent, it's not even a Machiavellian type. You know, I think when we use those descriptions and descriptors to assess the presidency of Mr. Zuma or assess him, yes, he's wily. Let's be honest, he's very wily. He knows how to push the levers. But I think he's running out of in these levers. Mm. These levers have been overplayed to a large extent. And also, some of the narrative that's coming out now, even the statement that has come out from the Jacob Zuma Foundation contradicts, in my opinion, I could be wrong, but contradicts what was initially tweeted immediately after the judgment was announced on Tuesday by one of his daughters, saying that, you know, they acknowledged it. Her father's in high spirits. I'm paraphrasing here.
Yes,
her father's
in high spirits.
And that they will be, that he'll come back to KZN and he'll serve out that sentence in a correctional service in closer to home. And they will take him to the police station. Now he's seeing a different narrative.
What are they actually saying now?
Now they're saying, well, one part of it is that, yes, we respect the decision of the Constitutional Court, but it was unconstitutional, if that makes sense. Because they are harping on the idea that there was the minority judgment by Justice Theron and Jaffa.
Right.
But what they don't get is that all nine justices were in agreement that Mr. Zuma was in contempt of court, and that was a criminal offense. What is the dissenting view, and it's a very slight dissenting view, was on the action that should be taken.
Well, which is also interesting because Busisiwe Mkhwebane, the public protector, has also latched on to the minority view. So again, just showing and defining the lines of who sits where in this whole Greek play, as you've called it.
Yes, and you know, the public protector in this case shouldn't even be asked to comment on this situation. She's the public protector, or is she still the public protector? God knows.
Yeah,
but I mean,
absolutely.
The point is that
I can't even remember.
Yeah, because she has so many litigation cases against her. It's just, you know, terribly disturbing. But the point is that she is supposed to head up that Chapter 9 office. And that Chapter 9 office is about protecting the integrity of the democracy, making sure that it functions according to the mandate of the legislature. So even if the reporters were being facetious and asking her to make a comment on the ruling and on the judgment, she should have said, I don't have the mandate to do that, and keep quiet. I don't know why she keeps courting controversy. She's now confirmed the reason why she was appointed.
Absolutely. Absolutely right. This is unfortunately where we do need to leave it. It is 8:56.
Just one thing to remember, sure. Howard. Today is another very critical day for the Constitutional Court. CR17 campaign going to be announced, going to be issuing the judgment on that, and whether Cyril Ramaphosa misled Parliament.
Oh, that's an important one. We definitely will be following that story. Thanks for highlighting that for us. Sanusha Naidu, Senior Research Associate at the Institute for Global Dialogue.